So you might have heard me talking about my own prayer life a little bit now and again. You're never quite sure just how much to talk about your own personal relationship with God, as you know, but inevitably you touch on it sometimes when you're somebody who speaks. And forgive me if I've got a bit of a cold this morning, so... Oh, yeah, I do love your sympathy, you know. Makes me feel a bit better. But just so bear with me if I'm not as... And I hope I don't sound awful, but... If Wendy was here, she'd be able to tell me if I was mumbling or shouting. So if I'm mumbling or shouting, you can tell me, all right? I'd like to go out for a walk when I pray, in the morning. I don't necessarily get out as much as I used to, not every day these days, but I used to. And I have those little prayer journeys, you know, when I'm out walking. So like I think on this first little bit, I'll pray for this and then I'll pray for that. And just recently, as I've gone out a few times on my walk in the last couple of... Well, probably the last sort of month or 6 weeks or so, I've gone launching out to start my walking. And, you know, it's one of those times when you get a thought in your head, you think, is this just me thinking something or is this God challenging me? And I think perhaps it is God challenging me. I've been sort of getting out there to pray. And as I've started to pray for the things that bother me, I felt that almost like God just checked me and say, is that how I've taught you to pray? Is that how I taught you to pray? You know, and then I'm sort of just reflecting on the Lord's Prayer and how when Jesus taught the Lord's Prayer, he taught the beginning of the Lord's Prayer is, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. And it was almost as though God was checking me and saying, I haven't taught you to pray needs first. I haven't taught you to present me with a list of what you want and all your anxieties and concerns, because I was praying about some things that were really bugging me. And basically what I was doing was starting out my prayer time, walking along and then telling God about the things that were really bothering me the most and some difficult things that was having to tackle and work through and deal with. And that was the first thing that I was launching into. And I felt that God just checked me on that and said, I've taught you to pray by thinking about who I am first. I've taught you to pray by getting into who I am before you get into what the difficulties that you're facing or the things that you want from me. That when we ask God for what we need from him or what we want to see him touch or challenge or change, that it should be through the lens of who he is. That should shape my expectations. And so when Jesus taught us to pray, he started with Father, didn't he? I've been doing that, and so I responded, being an obedient person that I am, hopefully. So, and saying to God, you know, started with that, and I mean, that dominant image that God wants us to have of him, that dominant thought of him is Father. And so I would start with that, really, and thinking about how God's primary identity in terms of how he wants us to relate to him is paternal. Of this great, perfect Father, the God who chooses to be called Daddy. and what that can mean, and about how God is inviting me into his family and wants the best for me and wants to be there for me and all those sorts of thoughts. And so I've started with that, really. I'm not going to get into sort of speaking on this too much, but I'm just going to touch on this. You might know that the Old Testament is the sort of... The name that is often used of God in the Old Testament, sometimes you'll hear it translated as Jehovah. It is the technical term for God's name in the Old Testament is the Tetragrammaton. It's posh, eh? If you're playing Scrabble or something. But it literally, it's difficult for us to know how to pronounce it because the Hebrews won't pronounce this name for God because it is the most holy name of God and therefore they choose to not pronounce that. And Hebrew was written without vowels. The Old Testament was written without vowels. So we have to sort of guess at it. But basically the closest come to is Yahweh, and calling God Yahweh. And there's how many are there? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. What we call compound names of God. Names of God that... where Yahweh is attached to some sort of activity of God. And so so we might find in the Old Testament there that God is known as Yahweh Shammah. It sounds a bit Scottish, that, doesn't it? For some reason, I don't know why, Shammah. So the Lord is there. And so as I come to God and I think about who he is, you know, hallowed be your name, respect for God's name at the beginning, at upfront prayer time, that I'm shaped by the idea that God is there, that when I'm out walking, prayer is not just me having nice thoughts with myself. The first time I ever prayed was sat in my bed and said, God, you're either there right now or I'm talking to a brick wall. I'd really like to know if you're there. But you know, that we are talking to a God who is there, who is with us, who is, and so that can shape our thoughts, doesn't it? You know, if you ever tried talking to somebody who's not looking at you back or not really listening, it's frustrating, isn't it? But there's God who is there. The God, Yahweh Shalom, the Lord our peace and our wholeness. That God is committed to us finding a peace. It might be a different type of peace to that which we want, but he's committed to our wholeness. And so in the way that we ask things from God, that we can be asking with an expectation that he wants to bring you to a whole place. And again, that can shape the way that we ask things from God. The Lord, Yahweh Jireh, the Lord will provide for us. That God is a God who looks after our financial needs and is going to walk with us through those needs. Yahweh Nisai, the Lord is our banner and our victory. The only victories worth winning in this life are the ones that look like Jesus. You know, the things that we sometimes want to win certain battles, don't we? Win certain arguments. But actually, it does matter how we win. It does matter what we look like when we've won. You know, just to sort of walk on somebody else and be the top dog is not necessarily the sort of winning that we're... And so that we reflect the nature and the character of God in the way that we... The Lord, our righteousness... the Lord that we will, you can sort of fill in the blanks with these. The Lord that heals us, that God is a God who is committed to our healing. The Lord who sanctifies us, who helps us to live a better life and be in our character, change our character. The Lord, our Saviour and our Redeemer. The Lord who is our loving, guiding Shepherd. So you get the thought here, don't you? That when we're approaching God and we're thinking about who God is. So when we're asking our request, that maybe we should be doing that through the framework of what God is like and who he is and his sufficiency and his nature and his character. You got that? I'm going to pause that just for a moment, okay? We'll come back to that thought in just a moment, if that's okay. And I'd like to move on to think about some other thoughts now, really. So I don't know about you, if you're on social media, some of you might be, many of you are blessed by not being, but you know, at this time of year, there will suddenly start to become a whole load of like streams here and there where people are saying, oh my goodness, what a rubbish year. Oh my goodness, can't wait to see the back of this year. Oh my goodness, you know, like goodbye, good riddance 2019 or whatever it may be. And we can also get drawn into that a little bit, just a little bit like Nicola was just saying right now. You know, we might have had awful, terrible stuff going on. And so we get into that way of perhaps a reflecting that is built upon just being negative. And it might be that we've got good reason to be negative. I don't want to be pleasing what I'm saying today. Some of the things that I'm not trying to be simplistic or blasé or insensitive in any of these things. But I wonder whether there is a better way of approaching looking back over the years. And do you know, actually, it only occurred to me the other day, being the thick person that I am, really, that, you know, actually, we're not just turning from one year to the next, aren't we? We're turning from one decade to the next, that we are moving into another decade. And we tend to reflect about those sorts of things, don't we? And there's been a lot going on in our nation as well. In society, there's been lots going on this year. You don't need me to fill in all the blank. I'm not going to use the word, the B word today, okay? But we've had lots of things going on in the world around us, haven't we? And each one of us will have individual things going in our lives. And how are we going to reflect and look back on this last year? So I just want to share, and really I am just sharing a few reflections today. So I hope that's okay, that I trust can affect the way that we finish this year. You know, it's often said, isn't it, it's not just about how we start, but it's how we finish that matters. So if you want to turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, if you've got a Bible with you, not all of these words have come up on the screen, so I'll read from this. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 12 onwards. Okay. So Paul has just written to this Thessalonians church, the early church leader. Paul has just written to this church in Thessalonia, and he's been sharing with them lots of different things. And so he comes to the end of his book, and as he often did in the end of his letters, just gives a few parting comments at the end. And he shares these thoughts with them. Now we ask you, brothers and sisters, to respect those who work hard among you. Now many of your translations will say, who are over you in the Lord. In actual fact, the original language there is better translated as those who stand before you in the Lord. Interesting, it's nothing to do with what I'm going to say today, but I can't avoid commenting on it really that often. But it's interesting how sometimes the translation it reflects the view of that we want to take, really. And you know, leadership in the New Testament, I think, and church leadership is more about those who stand in front of us, who are actually going somewhere, than those who lord it over us. Leadership, in the biblical terms, is about people saying, seeing that you're standing up front and doing something and are worth following, rather than about telling people how to behave. And so Paul writes to them and says, respect those who stand in front of you, who are doing something that is worth respecting and honouring, and who admonish you. Hold them in the highest regard in love because of their work. Live in peace with each other. And we urge you, brothers and sisters, warn those who are idle. Encourage the timid. Help the weak. Be patient with everyone. Make sure that nobody pays back wrong for wrong, but always try to be kind to each other and to everyone else. Be joyful always. Pray continually. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Do not put out the Spirit's fire. Do not treat prophecies with contempt. Test everything. Hold on to the good. Avoid every kind of evil. What I want to suggest to you, can we step to the next one? I don't know why it's not working, but it's not. There we go. Okay. I suggest to you that here, as Paul finishes, there's four things that he's talking to them about. He's talking to the church about how they respond to leadership and how they should... how we should treat leaders. And he talks to them a little bit about that. Then he talks to them about three other things as well. How we keep a healthy church. So he's telling them things like, you know, admonish one another. It's interesting, he's not telling leaders to admonish, he's telling us to admonish one another. That it's all of our jobs to help one another to sort of keep on the right path. To encourage us against idleness and things like that. And so he's talking to them about keeping a healthy church life. And then at the end of this little bit, he talks to them about how they approach, how they keep the voice of God through this, you know, by the Holy Spirit, how they keep that healthy as well. So how they hear from God and how they keep that alive amongst them. So there's four thoughts: leadership, keeping the church body as it should be, keeping the spiritual input, the voice of God healthy. But he also talks to them about how they keep their own soul healthy in the middle of this. And that's really just what I want to think about for a few moments now, if that's okay. I don't know whether I'm stretching it a little bit more there to see that there is a body, soul, and spirit element to that as well. And so in one sense, I think we can see these three things at both an individual and a corporate level. So we can see it as a church level, we can see it as an individual level, that we keep the body together when we are all working as we should and we're serving as we should and all those sorts of things. That the church body is healthy when we're hearing from the Holy Spirit in prophecy and we're doing that as we should. But equally, I think there is a sort of an individual level here, which particularly comes out in those few verses in 16 through to 18 there, where Paul talks to them about how, rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. So when he talks about this is the will of, next one, if that's okay, please, can we step to the next one? I know what's happening with this again today, so great. Okay. The will of God is not just attached to the last one, okay? So if you sometimes when you read that, you could easily read that, I would suggest that you could easily read that as that giving thanks in all circumstances is the will of God for you in Christ Jesus. But actually, I think the way that the passage is structured, it's all three things. That it is the will of God that we rejoice in all circumstances. That we pray constantly, that we give thanks in everything. And as we come to the end of this year, I wonder whether those three thoughts can just resonate with us a little bit, really. The idea that that we rejoice at all times. Now, some of us this year will have been through tough times. Some of us have been through great times. You know, we've had some good things going on in the church, haven't we? That this year we've had some things that we can really be grateful to God for and rejoice over. And we'll say a little few moments, come back to that in just a moment, that thought. But equally, there's times when it's not so easy. And if you are in that bracket where you're thinking, oh, this year's been tough, I wonder whether you can step into that. And I wonder what Paul has really got in mind here is to keep that positive attitude in which we find the joy of the Lord. You know, we have an example, for instance, in the book of Acts when Paul and Silas, they've been beaten for their faith and imprisoned. And at about midnight, they're locked up in chains in the cell and they're singing hymns to God. I've got to be honest with you, I'm not sure I'd be singing hymns at that particular moment. I'd be thinking, woe is me, God. Why is this happening to me? This is terrible. Get me out of here, God. You know, but actually God did get them out, didn't he? After they started worshipping and praying. And so that idea of trying to cultivate, not a plastic joy, not a joy that sort of, where you can meet, I don't know, forgive me if this sounds cynical, but you meet some Christians and it's just like, oh yeah, hallelujah, glory to God, you know, and you think, come on, where's the real person in here? I'd like to just hear what's really going on in your heart, you know, not that sort of thing, but we're talking about cultivating the ability to be able to still praise God in any situation, because somehow or another, in that praising God, in that moment when we say, for instance, you know, we looked at those compound names of God, that in those, you know, that God is with us in every situation, that God is our peace and our wholeness, that he is the one who is providing for us, that he is our healing, and even in those things, to just reflect on the nature and the character of God can somehow or another get us to that place where we cultivate a joyful attitude. That we pray constantly. I don't think that means that we every second of the day we're on our knees, blah, 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 because you wouldn't get a lot of work done, would you really? You'd probably get sacked. But that attitude, cultivating that attitude that says that our normal response is to pray. Perhaps that is the will of God for us. That the normal response to our life is that we cultivate that attitude that says in every situation that I find myself, good and bad. You know, Jesus prayed every situation, every circumstance of his life. He prayed at his best, worst moments and his best moments. When he was happy, when he was sad. You know, when he got good news, he just talks to his Father. Well, thank you, Father, that you've revealed this to those that are disempowered and weak and the unlovely. And, we see that Jesus did that. And so, cultivating that attitude that says we're going to pray in all circumstances. In 2020, are you going to be someone who cultivates the prayer in every situation, whether it's good or bad? Is that going to be the natural response of our hearts? But then at the end, he says this little expression, give thanks in everything. For this is the will of God for you. Just a little word there in terms of this is the will of God for you. Give thanks in every situation, in everything, not for everything. What we're not seeing here is the idea that everything that happens to us is the expressed will of God. There are some things that happen that are God's permitted will, God allows to happen, but that are not specifically his will. And so it's giving thanks in every situation, not for everything that happens. You know, that scripture is often quoted from Romans that, you know, that, somebody help me here, sorry. God works, it's often, people often quote it as God works all things for our good. Actually, the verse, if you read it properly, says, in all things God works for the good of those who are called according to his. And so that is in everything, that God will work for our good, but that doesn't necessarily mean that everything that happens is what God wants for our lives. And so perhaps that's what he's cultivating here. He's saying to them, in every situation that comes, it might be a good thing that is from God, that is God's perfect will for your life. In that situation, give thanks. But it may also be that in some situations where it is awful, where it is terrible, where it is not what God would really want for your life, where it is really difficult, still search for what you can give thanks for God for in that. Take something from it. Extract something that you can learn from it. Extract something from it. And maybe, and this is the heart really what I wanted to say today really, as you reflect on this year, It might be that you might find yourself thinking you want to be just negative, that you might just want to be like the grumpy geezers on Facebook or wherever it may be, who just say good riddance in language that's less, that's a little bit more colourful than that, you know, to this year. You might actually in your heart think, well, that's the way I want to be. But I wonder if it would be better to finish this year by saying, yeah, that sucked, that was rubbish. But actually, this is what I've learned from it, that I can give thanks to God for. This is how my character grew during that time. This is what I discovered of the nature of God in that time. This is what I can build the next course of my life on, this faithfulness of God, or the just the comfort of God as I go through that difficult moment, or the friendship of other believers who have sustained me. You know, some of the things, when you know, I've gone through some tough things this year that you wouldn't necessarily know about, and I'm not really going to share about, but do you know, one of the things that I would take from as I reflect on walking through that is the strength that just Christian fellowship brings, that other Christians who will stand with you in difficult moments, you know, that's just immense. I'll give thanks to God for that, because I'm reminded that moving into other complicated scenarios, complicated situations, that I have other friends who I can rely on that love God and will not just give me platitudes, but that will share what they feel that I should hear in a loving and a Christ-like way. That's something to give thanks for, isn't it? So, as we come to the end of this year, I'm just sharing reflections here this morning. I wonder what it is that you might want to give thanks to God for at the end of this year. There was a study that was done, I think, in University in Miami. It's a fairly limited study, but they took a group of people and they got three groups. They created three groups of people. And over a period, I think, of something like, I think it was 3 to 6 months, they got one group to write down every day, at the end of the day, something that they could be thankful for. They got the other group to write down something at the end of every day that they were miffed by about, you know, that they wanted to grumble about. And they got a third group to just write down something that was neither negative or positive for them. And what they found was that the group that wrote down the grumbly bits, and they're saying the things that they were, their health was worse, that they were less positive in life. And that's, but the ones who wrote down something positive out of every day, their health was better. They were more likely to be out exercising. They visited the doctor less frequently. That somehow or another, that added that by that being positive, by being finding something to be thankful for, it wasn't just good for, you know, a good thing to do. It was good for their health. It was good for their soul. It was good for their mind, and it was good for their relationships. And so I suppose that's what I'm saying. Really, is are you going to take into the next year an attitude of positivity? Are we going to be people who choose to find what we can be thankful for, even in every situation that we find ourselves? Because actually it is good for us, and it is good for our walk with God. Now this year, we know we've had some good things happen amongst us as a church, haven't we, as well? And so perhaps I was thinking maybe it would be good for us to just spend a few moments just in open prayer, as I finish in just a moment, just saying thank you to God for some of the things that we can. You know, this year we had our first ever baptism in this building. That was a good thing, wasn't it? We finally finished off this building project that we were doing here. You know, we opened it. We had the grand opening there, and you know that was positive. You know, we've got we have loads of people through every week. The toddler group is pumping. You know, we started at a hub on a Sunday. You know, some of the things that have been in our hearts for a few years have started to come together. It's been fantastic to see some of our young people sharing more, isn't it, and getting more involved. I mean, I don't know about you, but I love the all age the other week. You know, just hearing Kezia and Theo. So I'm getting old at my names, and just, you know, just the buzz that whole thing was, really, and seeing more of our young people stepping up and speaking out and serving God. That's been positive, hasn't it? There's other things, I guess, as well that you might want to put in there as well. That seeing a few more folks interested in finding out about Jesus and exploring that, that's been really, really great. And just getting that sense of God's in the house and moving and doing things, it's been good, hasn't it, really? So we've got some things to thank God for as well, haven't we? And now let me just also just revisit that thought that you had at the beginning. I wonder if your reflections about you, what's been going on when somebody says to you 2019, I wonder if that would shift now, just after the thoughts that I've just shared. Is there a sense in which maybe you'll think about some of those things a little bit differently and find some more positive thoughts to find in that? Is that okay? Let's just sit for a moment, shall we, in prayer.